Okay, welcome to Frelich and Chanukah. We're going to jump right in to the middle of the third paragraph of Frelich and Sharm. Chanukah is certainly a time for careful thought. Ner mitzvah v'tara ar is definitely a pasuk to be associated with Chanukah. Chanukah is a time of lighting lights, and it is incredibly appropriate to jump into the very specific point they're up to right now. It really speaks to the notion of light and darkness, and it will allow us to appreciate, I think, Hanukkah very much, and allow Hanukkah to illuminate the weeks and months going forward. So let's jump right in. Here we are in the middle of the third parak of Maseilas Yesharim to encapsulate where we've been up until this point in the third parak. You remember that the second parak introduced us to the idea of thoughtfulness, the idea of zehirus, and it was laid out in broad strokes in the second parak, and the ostensible goal of the third parak is to flesh it out. Let's break it down to details. How do we exactly go about living more thoughtfully, living more reflectively? Chal had laid out three pairs of ideas over the course of the beginning of the third parak that, taken together, really give us a much better, more practical sense of how to implement zehirus in our lives. A pair of contexts in which it takes place, Peshas Masa and Shlo Peshas Masa. We're talking both about thoughtful, rational, spiritually illuminated decision-making going forward, thinking things through from a point of view of the values, eternal values of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us, as well as the other context being a periodic, a retrospective looking back, a periodic Cheshvan Nefesh, looking at ourselves in the mirror from time to time, and taking stock of the last day, the last week, last month has looked like. He spoke about two different questions that we ask ourselves. What's the ideal and what's the real? Asking ourselves what we, in different situations that come up, what we ought to be doing, what the Kodesh Baruch Hu want of us, and then what, to also look realistically what it is that we're actually doing. And finally, we saw, I believe last time, the third pair was two different degrees of intensity, which this thinking and ambition can take place. Pishpush and mishpush. First, seeking just to cut out the wrong thing. And
the conference has been muted.
Seeking to cut out the wrong thing and do the right thing. That was sort of the first level of intensity. That was a degree of mishmush, of pishpush rather, than a degree of mishmush. But not only seeking to avoid doing the wrong thing, looking for the holes, so to speak, of a cloth, even looking to see that the cloth not only is free of holes, but is solid and strong and high quality. And the ambitiousness of seeking not just to not do the wrong thing, to cut out the spiritual holes, but to really go for a high quality living, high quality of Avodas Hashem. So those are the three pairs of ideas, a pair of contexts, a pair of questions, a pair of degrees of intensity. They're going to really give a sense of how to make this happen, Lamasa. And then finally, we had seen last time in Paragraph 3 days, Rav Chalab said, this is an incredibly important, this idea of living thoughtfully, this is where it's at, this is where everything has to begin with, and it's worth doing on a regular basis, perhaps he suggests as often as daily, Ki Rav HaTaladu. It's so productive. You gain so much, you grow so much from living thoughtfully, it's worth doing it frequently. And then he says, it's not just me, in Paragraph Yud Gimel, it's not just me who says, I'm not the only one who says, see, here's just so important, lest you think it's, you know, Ramchal has a fixation on Cheshvan Nefesh, some thoughtful living. No, it's not me. Chacham and Zechorom Levracha Horun of Zeirish Tzorech. Befeirish Tzorech of Cheshvan Nefesh. Ramchal writes in Paragraph Yud Gimel, Chazal explicitly, Befeirish, tell us, teach us about Tzorech of Cheshvan Nefesh, the value, the crucial need for living with Cheshvan. Humashar Muzal, and it's the Gemara Bava Basra. Here we are, paragraph Yudalid. Al Kenya Ruah Moshlim Bo Cheshbon. that she saw last time. I think we closed last time with this Gemara. Gemara comments based on a pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar. Simple pshuto shel mikra of the pasuk is it's alken yom hamoshlim ba'ol Cheshbon, describing the way the city of Cheshbon, the capital city of Sichon, in Eber HaYarden, before it was captured by Moshe and an army, what it had been like. It had been a political nerve center. The Moshlim local rulers from all around would come to the city of Cheshbon to meet the Sichon's capital. It was a central place. And look, we conquered it. Gemara in Baba Basra has an additional level of interpretation. The Moshlim B'Yitzram, those who have developed a certain degree of self-control, they say Bo Cheshbon. They say, let's make the cosmic Cheshbon. Not the city of Cheshbon, but Cheshbon with a lowercase ches, Cheshbon calculation. Let's make the cosmic calculation. Let's weigh the cost-benefit analysis. You want to do an Aveira, but what are the costs? I see the downsides of doing a mitzvah, but what are the benefits? What's the value? Hefsid mitzvah keneged tzaras kar mitzvah keneged hefsida. And the Ramchal drew our attention to the fact that, so, number one, look, the second half of this Agadata speaks exactly the point he didn't make before. That Cheshbon is critical. That has been his argument throughout. That living with Cheshbon, living a thoughtful, deliberate way of life, that is absolutely critical. But why is he Akin Yom HaMoshe? What is the, you have to ask the people who have succeeded self-control? Akash Baruch Hu says it. Yeah, if you advertise a medication, you may say four out of five doctors recommend you take this. That's if you advertise the medication to lay people, they have a company advertising the medication. Lay people say, well, the doctor, four or five doctors we surveyed supposedly recommend Tylenol or whatever it may be. So, but this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's not an advertising agency. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is writing the Torah. Bo Cheshbon. Why do you need the Alkein Yom HaMoshlim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu need expert authorities, expert human authorities? Well, what's that all about? So he says to appreciate that, we're going to come to an important mashal, a second mashal, a mashal of the maze, that will help us to appreciate the message that the Torah and Gemara are giving us with this Alkein Yom HaMoshlim. The message of seeking out advice from those who have already attained self-control. He says, first you have to understand, and this brings us back to Hanukkah. The only person who could give Eitzah in this situation is someone who's already succeeded. In the middle of paragraph, Tezvav Mishra Adayin Chavush B'Ma'asar Yitzro Ein Einavro Osa Emes Azos Ein Yochol Hakira. Until you've succeeded, and one's Yetzer Hara, I'm blinded. I'm blinded by desire. I'm blinded by confusion. Hinehu, at the end of paragraph Tezav, Kaholech B'choshech, until I've succeeded at cultivating a certain degree of self-control, I'm like someone walking in the dark. Sheish Lefav Mecholos Ve'ein Enav Ro'os Osam. There may be things in the way. I'm about to trip, I'm about to fall, I'm about to slip. I can't even see it. And it says that the notion of Olam Hazeh as darkness, Humasha Amruzal, here we are, a short critical paragraph, paragraph Tazayin, it's a Gemara, we move from Balabasar to Bav Metziah Daf Tehimel, Toshas Koshach Vihi Laila, the Olam Hazeh Shadom Laila. How about that? Today's Rosh Chodesh and Hanukkah, and here we have a quote that brings us to both Rosh Chodesh and Hanukkah. Because this is a quote you see from Tehillim Kov Dalad. Toshas Choshech Vihi Laila, that's Barchi Nafshi. Barchi Nafshi is a poem. Sometimes I wonder whether it's a mini Gishol to say the first few psukim of Barchi Nafshi Rosh Chodesh. But the truth is, sometimes we're often in such a rush. It's a longer davening, and people have trains to catch, and sometimes we feel under the gun. We don't have the chance to appreciate Barchi Nafshi properly. So let me tell you something now that's right lunchtime. Not hopefully not running to work. Let me tell you something about Baruch Nafshi, and then we'll take a look at this pasuk. Philip Birnbaum in his introduction to his translation of the Siddur, he quotes a non-Jewish scholar by the name of Herder. Philip Birnbaum quotes that Herder had said it would have been worse studying Biblical Hebrew. He was a non-Jew. He had not learned Hebrew in yeshiva, obviously. He studied Hebrew as a young adult at college. And he said it would have been worth spending 10 years mastering Biblical Hebrew just in order to appreciate the beauty of Psalm 104 in the original, just in order to read Baruch Hinafshi. Begin to have a sense of appreciation for the beauty of what we sometimes unfortunately run right by. Baruch Hinafshi, on a simple level, is a poem by David HaMelech about the beauty and glory of the cycles of nature that Kadosh Baruch Hu created. Ecological cycles, astronomical cycles, parents taking care of, parent animals taking care of their young, taking care of their children, interactions between different species, and a sense of what happened at day and at night. And Tashas Choshech Vihi Yoyla, David HaMelech writes, Kadosh Baruch Hu plays the darkness and then it's night. That's when the nocturnal animals wake up and come out, and that's when the other animals are going to sleep. And he's describing the majesty of the cycles of nature that Kadosh Baruch Hu created. Gemara Bava Metzia points out there's an additional level of interpretation as well. Tashas Choshech Vihi Laila is not only a description of changes, biological changes that happen when the sun sets. Zeh Olam Hazeh Shedomo Laila. Gemara says this is also a reference in general to all of Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh is like night. Even though right now it's 12:45 in the afternoon, you look outside the window, the sun is shining in New York City, but it's still nighttime. It's always nighttime. Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba is day, Olam Hazeh is night. You look at that first, you say, well, I wouldn't have thought it's even a Jewish idea. Olam Hazeh is night. Olam Hazeh is gloomy. Olam Hazeh, that seems so pessimistic, so negative, to see this world as dark. But Amchal says, I want you to appreciate, what do we mean when we say that this world is like the night? It doesn't mean that this world is a world of despair. It doesn't mean this world is bad. It means the following. Take a look at paragraph design. Havein, please understand that Amchal says, Kama nifla hamama hamiti azeh. How incredible is this profoundly true Agarata Lumi Shema Mikla Havimbo, for one who will take the time, take the pains to dig in to understand it deeply. He's saying something in that sense very important. We saw in the end of the previous parak, he quoted a Gemara Moi Katan, the Agarata, and at the time, in that context, Ramchal just analyzed it, didn't make a big deal, but when we learned together, we noticed that he's being so careful and so thorough in the way he reads in Agarata. And here he does make a point. Here he's reading Agarata again. And here he does make that point. He says, recognize that you got to read it right. But if you read it well, you read it profoundly, Kama nifla mamar miti azeh. This Agarata is true and it's so beautiful and so profound. The Mishima Mikla Havimbo. Kihine, Amchal writes, so let's consider the mashal, and then we can come back to the nimshal. When we say that Olam Hazeh is like Choshech, what do we mean? Well, he says, let's think about actual physical Choshech. What does the darkness of night do? It can cause one of two different errors. It can get in the way of clear sight in one of two ways. It depends how dark it is. Typically, you're in the dark, but if you're in the dark, you're outside, or you're in a dark garage, a dark basement, after a minute or two, your eyes adapt to the darkness, your pupils grow, and you're able to see somewhat. Why? Because there is some light, just not enough. So as your eyes load up, you use whatever light there is. You may not see perfectly, but you'll see something. However, you've ever been in a full blackout, if you've ever been, say, in dialogue in the dark at the museum in Cholon or elsewhere around the world, where you have the experience of what it's like to actually be blind. They take you through a series of rooms with a blind guide, and it's thoroughly dark. There is not a bit of light. Your eyes, there's nothing for your eyes to adapt to. You just can't see anything. You learn to use your other senses, and you rely on your blind guide. There's nothing to see. There's no light whatsoever. So Hal says, think about that. Sometimes it's so dark, there's no light whatsoever, you just can't see anything. Sometimes there is some light, you just can't see clearly. So you're seeing things, and you're misreading what you're seeing. You're walking through the forest, and it's Rosh Chodesh this time of the month. There's no moonlight, and a little bit of starlight. So you could see that you see a tree, and you go over to hang your coat on it, and it turns out that was a friend. That was a person. Or you see a person coming up, you go over and shake his hand, it turns out you're shaking hands with the tree. Like the tree looks like a person, the person looks like a tree. You can see somewhat, but it's distorted. Says Ramchal, in Paragraph Yitzchaz, Kein Chomrius V'Gashrus Almazah. That's the beauty of the mashal. Chosha sometimes doesn't allow you to see whatsoever, sometimes allows you to see, but in distorted fashion. That's what Almazah is like, the physicality. Chasing after the material aspects of Almazah, with Choshech HaLailo Ein HaSeichel. It's what a gorgeous phrase. It's the dark of night for the mind's eye. Ein HaSeichel. The mind's eye is darkened, is withheld from seeing by Chomrius Almazah. And, once again, in parallel, causes one of two errors. Paragraph Yitzchaz Chaf. Sometimes you just can't see anything. Some people are entirely not clued in to the spiritual realities of the world. Some people are entirely, unfortunately, not clued in to the fact that there are eternal values, and there are enduring goals that I could build my life around. Some people just are totally not clued in. Life is merely hedonistic. Meaningless. Just ephemeral. That's total blackout. The Almazah has so distracted me that I don't even see anything. Tell us Hashnina. But the second mistake, which is in a sense worse, is Kashamir Rishona. The second sort of darkness. You see a little bit, but the tree looks like a person, the person looks like a tree. And the Nimshal, correspondingly, is sometimes the material distractions of life, they don't blind me entirely, but they distort my vision. And I have a sense that there's right and wrong, there's good and evil, but what's good and what's evil, that's thrown off. They say that's even worse. When you're a Lishmanic, but it's misdirected, but I feel self-righteous. I feel like I'm doing the right thing and I'm doing that which is moral. I'm doing Lashma. That's a misguided Lashma. That he says, that's even worse. Mirel Hemlin, so the end of paragraph Chafalf, of the end of paragraph Chafalf and Paragimel. Limso Rayas Gedolos Nisyonos Mochichim as far as they arose, they're saying Makosos. Instead of merely, doing what you want because that's what you want, when you build a whole ideology around it, and then you build intellectual towers, castles in the air, to intellectual houses of cards, to buttress your quote unquote shita. This is l'shem shamayim, the right thing, when it's really just about taiva and gaiva and kiva. So that's the worst. So when we say, now let's wrap up for today. So when this, he has said before, mamash hoshach. Almazah is Hosha, but it doesn't mean that Almazah is depressing or gloomy or evil. What it means that Almazah is an Almazah Shikra. Things are often not as they seem in this world. The truth is often hard to notice. It takes work. Sometimes the Hosha of Almazah is a thorough blackout, and sometimes it's distorting. And it's hard to know which is right and which is wrong. Now, the solution, but covered Hayom. Solutions I've heard Rosh Hashanah say many times. The Kadmoni right, Ma'atmana or Docha Hamrin Choshech. A little bit of light can dispel a lot of darkness. If Almazah is full of Choshech, an alma de shikra with a yonim lamata v'tachta lamara. Things are often not, things are not truly as they seem. So every mitzvah lights is so to speak a ner to illumine, to give me more illumination and more clarity. And Torah is an or. Torah gives me a lot of light. That's giving docha even more choshech. Already, even a little bit of light. Ma'at min har docha is already docha har min choshech. You have a lot of light. That's really going to be very, very helpful. So the lights of Hanukkah, if the mitzvah of, if one of the primary mitzvahs of Hanukkah is Neros, has to tell you something. Has to tell you this is the time to get clarity. To get clarity, which next time they're going to pick up. He's going to now take this idea of Or and Choshech and the search for clarity, bring that back to explain the final hanging thread, which was what's with the Moshe and Beitzram. And why does the Torah go out of its way to not just tell us Bo Cheshbon, the importance of Cheshbon, the Eros, but to tell us that you need to seek out Moshe to help you. That will bring us Mitzvah next time to the Mashal of the corn maze, the garden maze. We'll pick up with that. Paragimel, paragraph Chav Gimel, Mitzvah Hashem next time. Thank you so much. Freyach and Hanukkah, Alech and Hanukkah. We will be in touch. Have a wonderful day. Kaltes.